The rational mindset presents rationality not as a cold rejection of feeling, but as a disciplined way of bringing logic, fairness, and insight into alignment. From the opening pages, the book makes a clear claim. Every day we are making judgments that shape our lives, relationships, and work. And the quality of those judgments depends on whether we have trained ourselves to think clearly and decide wisely. The author does not frame rationality as perfection or emotional suppression. Instead, rationality is described as a practical mindset, one that helps a person respond to complexity without being ruled by impulse, distortion, or habit. A rational person is not emotionless. They are someone who knows how to blend reason with intuition, evidence with empathy, and analysis with human judgment so that decisions are not only effective, but defensible and just. From there, the book builds a foundation in logical thinking. It argues that clear reasoning starts by building a framework. Define the problem precisely, identify the assumptions underneath it, and separate facts from opinions. That may sound basic, but the book emphasizes that most flawed thinking begins when people rush past these steps. When the problem is not well defined, the mind starts improvising, often in ways that feel confident but are actually vague. The author repeatedly returns to the value of precision. A strong logical framework means knowing what kind of reasoning you are using, whether deductive or inductive, and understanding what each can and cannot prove. Deduction offers certainty only when its premises are true, while induction offers probable conclusions based on evidence. The point is not to become obsessed with technical logic, but to cultivate a habit of thinking in a sequence. What is the claim? What supports it? What assumptions are hidden? And how strong is the connection between evidence and conclusion? This first chapter also lays out one of the book's recurring warnings. Common thinking errors distort judgment unless they are actively questioned. The book names several of these errors throughout its discussion, including confirmation bias, anchoring, hindsight bias, and the bandwagon effect. It explains that confirmation bias tempts us to notice what supports what we already believe and ignore what challenges it. Anchoring makes the first piece of information too powerful. Hindsight bias tricks us into believing an outcome was obvious after the fact. The bandwagon effect pushes us toward an idea because it is popular, not because it is true. The book's answer to all of these is not self-criticism for its own sake, but reflective questioning. Pause, inspect your reasoning, write it down, and if possible, expose it to another person's perspective. The author treats self-reflection and feedback as tools for making the invisible visible. The next major theme is mental clarity. The book insists that clear thinking depends not only on abstract reasoning skills, but on the physical and mental conditions under which we think. Sleep, exercise, environment, and pauses all matter. Mental fog is not treated as a moral flaw. It is treated as a condition that can be improved. The author recommends daily routines that support cognition, like consistent sleep, movement, and better nutrition, and explains that exercise improves focus by increasing blood flow and reducing fatigue. Environmental control also matters. Notifications, clutter, noise, and constant interruption undermine clarity. The book urges readers to create deliberate pockets of calm, whether through silent work periods, turning off alerts, or simplifying the workspace. The message is that better thinking often begins with better conditions for thinking. In the same chapter, the book explores how to overcome fog and bias by slowing down. When people are overwhelmed, emotionally stirred, or simply moving too fast, they tend to react rather than reason. The author recommends deliberate pauses, mindfulness, and mental decluttering. Writing things down is presented as a simple but powerful strategy because externalizing worries and decisions reduces cognitive overload. The more you try to carry everything mentally, the more likely you are to miss a critical detail or become exhausted into poor judgment. The book also notes that discussing your thinking with others can reveal blind spots you cannot see yourself. Clarity in this framework is not a static trait, but a disciplined practice of reducing noise so that better reasoning can emerge. Fair judgment is the next major pillar. The author argues that fairness is not automatic. It requires intention, humility, and consistency. To judge fairly means considering all relevant perspectives without favoritism or prejudice. It means treating evidence seriously, no matter where it comes from, and resisting the temptation to dismiss something simply because it is inconvenient or unfamiliar. The book makes fairness deeply practical. It says fair judgment depends on transparency, so that others can understand how and why a conclusion was reached. It depends on consistency, so similar cases are treated similarly. It depends on accountability, so decision makers are answerable for the way they reasoned. And it depends on awareness of power dynamics, because judgment rarely happens on a level playing field. Fairness requires noticing when authority, status, access, or influence are shaping the outcome in ways that may not be justified. The book also makes room for empathy within fairness. Fair judgment is not just a matter of cold neutrality. The author says that to be truly fair, one must consider how decisions affect different people differently, and that requires emotional understanding as well as logical scrutiny. This is important because the book never pretends rationality is detached from human consequences. Instead, it treats fairness as the discipline of reasoning with respect for human dignity. Later in the discussion of personal bias, the author revisits the halo effect and the horn effect, showing how we can unfairly overvalue or undervalue a person based on a single impression. The solution is to break evaluations into parts and assess evidence, not just feelings. Intellectual humility is central here. Recognizing that your own view may be incomplete makes fair judgment possible. The book then deepens into critical thinking. One of its strongest messages is that critical thinking is less about memorizing rules and more about learning to question assumptions. Assumptions are described as the invisible frames behind our beliefs. We often accept them so automatically that we mistake them for reality. The author urges readers to ask, "What am I assuming here?" and to examine whether those assumptions still hold. A manager who assumes a past strategy will work the same way again, for example, may be ignoring changes in context. A person who reads evidence through a pre-existing belief system may think they are being logical when they are really just confirming themselves. Critical thinking, then, is the practice of loosening mental rigidity. That chapter also reinforces the importance of objectivity in evaluating evidence. The author distinguishes between facts and interpretations and warns against cherry-picking. Some evidence is stronger than other evidence, and objective thinkers must assess relevance, reliability, recency, and method. Anecdotes may be emotionally persuasive, but not conclusive. Data may be incomplete, but still useful if its limits are acknowledged honestly. The book presents a balanced model of skepticism. Enough questioning to prevent gullibility, but not so much that the mind becomes paralyzed. Intuition is not dismissed. Instead, it is treated as a starting point that must be tested against evidence. Critical thinking grows stronger when curiosity and skepticism are kept in equilibrium. Practical reasoning in everyday life is where the book becomes especially concrete. The author shows how logical thinking can be brought into daily decisions, from minor choices to personal conflicts and work-related dilemmas. A rational mindset does not remove emotion from life. Rather, it helps a person notice when emotion is helping and when it is distorting the decision. The book gives examples like receiving criticism at work. Instead of reacting defensively, a logical thinker pauses, identifies the facts, and asks what can be learned. The same applies to choices involving time, money, or long-term consequences. The author emphasizes trade-offs. Good decisions often require choosing between convenience and growth, comfort and health, speed and accuracy. Practical reasoning means thinking beyond immediate gratification and asking what a choice will cost later. This theme continues into professional decision-making, where complexity rises and structured reasoning becomes even more important. The book recommends breaking complex decisions into goals, variables, priorities, and scenarios. It uses the metaphor of assembling a puzzle. You do not throw every piece together at once and hope for the best. You sort, categorize, and understand how the pieces relate. In professional settings, this means clearly defining objectives, identifying stakeholders and constraints, and estimating possible outcomes. The book is especially supportive of decision trees and cost-benefit analysis, which it presents as tools for making uncertainty visible. A decision tree helps a person imagine branching consequences. Cost-benefit analysis clarifies trade-offs. These methods are not portrayed as perfect predictive machines, but as frameworks that make reasoning transparent and reduce impulse. Problem solving is treated as a related but distinct skill. The book argues that a good problem solver does not rush to a quick fix. Instead, they break the problem down logically, determine whether several smaller problems are being mistaken for one large one, and then work on each part in turn. This reduces cognitive overload and exposes root causes. The book also makes room for creativity here. Logical problem solving is not portrayed as rigid. It becomes stronger when a person can shift perspective, use brainstorming, test what-if scenarios, and remain open to unconventional possibilities. The author encourages combining divergence and convergence. First, generate options freely, then evaluate them critically. Tools like mind maps, scenario analysis, and even playful thought experiments are all presented as ways to loosen mental ruts without abandoning rigor. Communication is another central concern. The book argues that clear, logical arguments are essential not only for persuasion, but for fairness. We make it easier for others to understand and evaluate our reasoning. The author stresses the structure of argument. Premises lead to conclusions, and those premises must be relevant and true. Logical fallacies, such as ad hominem attacks or emotional appeals standing in for evidence, weaken credibility. But the chapter goes beyond argument construction. It insists on listening as a moral and intellectual discipline. To listen well is to ask questions, understand another person's position before judging it, and resist the urge to interrupt defensively. The book frames this as a fairness issue. We cannot judge another's reasoning accurately if we have not really understood it. The chapter on managing cognitive biases proactively ties many of these strands together. It expands the earlier discussion of confirmation bias and related errors by showing how hidden biases live beneath conscious awareness. The author emphasizes that biases are not simply personal defects. They are mental shortcuts that once had adaptive value, but now often misfire in modern complexity. The book recommends several ways to uncover them. Monitor emotional reactions, seek out contradictory perspectives, notice the language and framing of an issue, and reflect through journaling. It also proposes practical exercises such as feedback seeking, adopting an outsider's perspective, and performing a pre-mortem, in which you imagine a decision has failed, and then work backward to find possible causes. These methods help expose overconfidence and blind spots before they become costly. Building rational habits is the next step. The book is very clear that rationality must become routine if it is to survive pressure. Habits transform deliberate effort into something more automatic. The author recommends small daily practices: pausing before reacting, questioning one's beliefs, solving logic puzzles, journaling decisions, and seeking diverse perspectives. The underlying idea is that rational thought can be trained into the ordinary rhythm of life. The environment matters here too. A tidy, low-friction, non-hostile setting supports careful judgment. So does accountability. The book suggests surrounding yourself with fair-minded people and building structures that reward reflection rather than haste. Even technology is treated pragmatically. It can either support rational habits or undermine them, depending on whether it is used intentionally. The digital age chapter is especially urgent. The book recognizes that people are now surrounded by misinformation, fake news, emotionally manipulative headlines, and algorithm-driven echo chambers. It explains why false information spreads so quickly. Emotional content travels faster than careful truth, and familiar-looking sources can mimic trustworthy ones. The reader is urged to become a disciplined verifier. Cross-check stories with multiple sources, favor primary documents where possible, pay attention to dates, question vague claims, and notice when language is loaded or sensationalized. The author repeatedly stresses intellectual humility here. Do not trust your first impression. Pause before sharing. Verify before reacting. The digital environment is framed as one that rewards impulse, and rationality as the deliberate refusal to be swept along by that impulse. Finally, the book turns to sustainability. A rational mindset is not something you achieve once and keep forever. It must be maintained over time through reflection, adjustment, and continued learning. The author treats growth in rational thinking as iterative. You assess what habits are helping, where you are still slipping into old patterns, and how your environment or responsibilities may be changing the demands on your judgment. The long-term goal is not to become flawless, but to remain adaptable, self-aware, and committed to fairness. Rationality is therefore presented as a lifelong practice. It is a way of staying honest with yourself, of choosing evidence over fantasy, and of making decisions that are both clear-headed and humane. Taken together, the rational mindset offers a practical philosophy of thought. It is not content to say be logical in the abstract. It spells out what that means in daily life. Define problems carefully, question assumptions, reduce bias, build clarity, listen fairly, verify information, and cultivate habits that make these things easier over time. Its strongest thread is balance. Emotion is not the enemy. Intuition is not useless, but neither should be allowed to rule unchecked. The rational mindset, as the book defines it, is the skill of bringing all of these elements into disciplined conversation so that our choices become wiser, our judgments fairer, and our lives more deliberate.